You're listening to the Backstage Pass podcast with Hannah Triggel, brought to you by Tomomo.
Gami, hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Hannah? I think it's super weird when we have a podcast. It's always like we always talk before it. Yeah. And then like once the podcast starts, you always have to go like, oh, okay, hey, how are you doing again? We just talked about this.
We did. For the people listening or watching, just tell us a little bit about what you do.
I go by the name of Gami. My real name is Philip. I produce. So I started out as a music producer. So I mainly do hip hop beats and like really Japanese-esque anime type beats and stuff. And now I'm kind of developing into a vocal artist too.
I realized that, you know, you've started to sing on your tracks.
That's actually what I always wanted to do. So I come from the hip hop scene. And since I started out as a producer, I basically made beats for like years. So I would always like sit at home in my bedroom and just make beats. And I would always love to like freestyle over them. It was like it used to be my secret little thing. Like I would make a beat and then I would just like kick a really whack freestyle over my beat.
And did they go out?
Nah, those freestyles, the beats, but like not the freestyles. And then eventually I started doing YouTube, and at first I only uploaded my beats, but then I started to also make videos of how I make my beats, kind of like behind the scenes videos. And in those videos, like I always freestyle when I make beats. I can't like make a beat and when I like it, I have to like sing over it or like freestyle over it. So I did it in those videos. And then I seen that people actually respond to it well. And everybody told me I should like put out tracks and stuff. And I always wanted to, but I don't know. I never like built up the courage to like be like, all right, I'm a rapper now. Because, you know, like people view you as a producer. So you kind of see yourself as a producer, if that makes sense. I'm an artist, I would say. Yeah. I don't like to just classify myself as one thing because it kind of limits me, I feel like. I mean, you can probably relate to this. Like in the beginning, when you first start like doing vocals, and for the people that are listening, it's probably like, it's like when you record a voice note and send it to a friend and you listen to the voice note and you're like, what? Like, that's actually how I sound? Oh my God. And you like cringe at your own voice note. Like I remember I used to be like that. And with singing, it's kind of like that, but a little more extreme because you actually try to sound good. And in the beginning, you're like, oh, this does not sound like I want it to sound. In my head, this sounds so good, but this does not sound how I want this to sound.
It's like when you sing in the shower, isn't it? You feel like you're like Celine Dion or, you know.
Yeah, you're sick in the shower. And then like you just record it and you're like, oh, this is whack. So I had to go through this, like, I don't know, 2-year period or a couple year period where everything was just like a little whack. And or until I was like comfortable with the whackness, I would say. And now I'm at a point where I have songs that I actually like and that I think are dope. And my vocal is still not where I want it to be, you know, or like my abilities. But at least like I have a feeling that I'm kind of growing towards it and that it's like enjoyable for listeners and for myself. Wow, I have to remember to breathe, man. This is like I'm on these like big monologues and I stop breathing.
I remember when we met in Montreux for the festival that you were recording loads of different sounds just around in the day.
Yeah, that's what I like to do for videos, because I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll make a cool video out of this. And but yeah, I don't really record many sounds myself. Like I said, it's kind of something I started doing when I started YouTube and documenting more, because eventually I came to a point where I was like, okay, I want cool concepts for my videos. And I want to, you know, like you have a little concept for it. Like maybe you make a beat from this weird instrument or this weird instrument just to make it interesting. And then I really started to like organic sounds that I record. And I started to, for example, record my voice and use my voice as chords and just like stuff like that. So I do still use my voice or some one shots that I recorded, but it's not like something I'm like too nuts about. Like I really enjoy sampling my own voice, but that's, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Like a Jason Derulo.
No, more like a choir. So you record like a ooh, and then you just like play it as chords. It sounds really nice. Nowadays, I like to use Splice. I think Splice is really cool. And in the producer community, there's a lot of people also making like sample packs. Like my friend Stupid Lou, he makes, for example, sample packs. And it's actually become kind of like a profession. Like people like Mario making Luciano. Yeah, like in hip hop, it's sampling is really, really common in hip hop. I don't know if it's the same in pop and EDM. I feel like it's more like in sessions, people just make stuff from scratch or use Splice. But in hip hop, samples can be a really personal thing. So, for example, my friend Lou, he lives in Berlin and he makes, like he used to be a guitarist. And play in a band and everything. And now he like makes hip hop beats and uses samples or like creates his own like samples. So he sits there with like his guitar and Omnisphere and like Logic open and just makes a sample that sounds really cool and does the whole melody and everything. And then he like sends it to producers in the States and they use it for like bigger songs for like, I don't know, Lil Tecca or like A Boogie or like other people, you know, that's like really common now in the producer community to be like not a producer but even like a sample maker.
How do you go about finding people to collaborate with? Is it usually friends of friends? I think for me, like, it's always been friends of friends, but I always wonder from a producer's point of view, do you like put the feelers out there and see like if anyone wants to work with you, or do you go after people to work with?
So I used to really run after people in the beginning. I was really into like, I just wanted to collab with people. I was like, oh man, I want to collab with you and you and you and you. And I don't know, nobody would write back in the beginning because like my beats were really whack. And then I was like, ah, fuck it, man. I'm going to just like do my own thing. You know, and I was like, okay, I'm going to just get really good and post my beats to YouTube. And then just people like hit me up. Yeah, usually it's people that I see on like Instagram or on YouTube that I think are really dope. And then I reach out. But it's like, to be honest, I wouldn't even see myself just as a producer anymore. Like, it's not really, like, I used to have this, like, dream of just producing, like, a big hit for somebody or just, like, making the next Travis Scott single or anything. But that's not really what I'm after anymore. I kind of really just want to produce, like, beats for myself, kind of. Yeah. And, like, make songs over my own, like, beats. And collaborate with people on my beats that I really like, you know. So there's a lot of people that I think are so dope. For example, this guy, Internet Boy, like he has so few followers, but he is so insane. Like,
what kind of stuff does he do?
Oh, he makes like this really quirky, very chill, like trap and like rap, hip hop, like. It's really like melodic and like he sings on it and he has like a really cool way of like mixing things and it sounds, I don't know, it's really cool. And I reached out to him and like we made one song together and I don't know, like just stuff like that. It's really just about sound, just people that I think sound really good. And then of course the friends of friends thing, like when I'm in Berlin, I usually stay at my friend's place. He lets me sleep there and he's a producer as well. And then we go to sessions and, you know, you collab with the people there in sessions and stuff like that. Yeah. Do you collaborate with people like on the internet or how does it go for you?
The majority of like remote collaborations that I've done have been very like specific in genre, always been EDM.
Okay.
Like just, you know, like a top line for something or singing a vocal for something. But yeah, I think like just being present on social media and putting music on YouTube for me, has kind of allowed people to find me. And like you at the beginning, when I was messaging people saying, I want to write a song with you, or like, let's work on a tune. You'd never get a response ever.
Yeah, thanks.
Which is crazy, because, you know, sometimes people would message me now, or like a DJ or a producer, and if they send a good song, then I'm like, I'm down. Like, I just love making music. So do you like being independent?
Oh, yeah. It's like my favorite thing. If I had, for example, a label and I would be working on an album, I would really like kind of feel boxed into like my creative freedom, if that makes sense. Because all of a sudden my music would have to be like good in the eyes of other people. Like right now I'm literally just making the music that I like and I put it out, and then I let the people that like that music find it, instead of just trying to please like a market or like an audience. Right. And I feel like that music even does better. Whenever I'm like too concerned of like, oh, are the people that listen to my music gonna like this? Like, that's always when like the song turns out trash. And I don't know. Yeah. Every time I'm just like loose, it just turns out well.
This is gonna sound awful, but like, the less effort that I put in, the better the song resonates with people.
That's how it is. That's really how it is.
Surely if I, you know, make loads of content for something to promote it and like work really hard on a song, I'm like, surely that song deserves more than a song that took me 2 seconds. And, you know, you can never tell, can you, I guess, what's gonna connect with people and what's not.
And I think, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, when I'm work on a song and I like know that it's good, kind of like, you know, when you're just like in flow, kind of when you're just like making a song and you're like, oh wow, okay, you feel like you're literally putting in no effort because you're just, I don't know, you're just freestyling some top lines or some stuff, and it just comes together like magically almost. It's better because of that, you know, because you're like so in the moment and you're just so in the song that it doesn't feel like a lot of effort. Meanwhile, when you kind of force yourself to like make something on a day where you like, you know, you feel really wacky and you're just like putting pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Like everything feels like effort, you know? It doesn't feel effortless. It's all like, it's so hard to do. Sometimes I make a beat and it's really fast and I'm like, oh wow, this sounds so amazing. Where did this come from? You know, like after, like when I listen to it the next day, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And it sounds so complex.
It's always better the next day.
Yeah. And it used to be the other way around. You would make something like, oh, this is sick. And then next day you're like, oh, what have I done? But but then I listen to it and it sounds really complex. But I remember how I made it and it's not complex at all. It was just like the presets that I used for the sounds.
Like sometimes when you listen to stuff and there's like artifacts of noises, or you know, like tails of reverbs, or I think before I really knew a lot about production, I always thought that stuff was like, and in some songs it is, but I thought that stuff was always super fine-tuned and always really, really thought through. But actually it's just sometimes like a preset that's just tailing off.
Yeah. It's just the dude going through different presets and being like, oh, this sounds sick. You know?
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, also, obviously, I feel like the really good songs sometimes go through a couple of hands, you know? So it's like, you know, maybe you have a songwriter in the session. And you have like the engineer is really good that records it. And then the mixing engineer is really good too. And everybody comes together in like a collaborative way. Like yesterday I was making a beat with my friend, and my friend doesn't even produce. Like he just came over like to hang out, and he told me like what to put into the beat, you know.
Can you work and just have someone giving you all of the direction?
Or? I hate it. I told him, because when he was like, oh, let's make a beat, I was like, nah bro, you're not gonna like what I like, and it's gonna be annoying for both of us when you say I should be this. And he's like, nah, you just do it your way and I'll just give you cool ideas. And it's like, okay, let's try it. And he's like, yeah, oh, this needs some strings. And like, oh, this needs some rain sounds. Like, okay. And it came out really nice. I was like, wow, oh, cool. this came out great. And he's like, nah, the strings should be simple. You know, he didn't say, yo, this got to be an E or this got to be an F sharp or something. It was like, yeah, just simple strings. Like, it was really basic ideas, but it came out really cool. What do you use Logic, right?
I started like way back when using Cubase. Did you ever use that?
Yeah.
And then GarageBand. And yeah. And now like Logic. But Logic's very similar in the way it works to GarageBand. So that was a pretty easy transition, really. I think it would take me a long time to ever call myself a producer. Because it's not something that I know enough about. Do you get artists that bring in like nearly finished songs to you?
I don't like doing that. I don't like, I don't know. I don't even like to collaborate over the internet that much anymore. Like, I just like to be in a room with the people that I want to work with and just like make stuff on the spot, kind of, you know?
I think it's really hard to get on the same wavelength as someone if you're not in the same room as well. Especially when you're making music.
Yeah, it's tough. And especially when like, yeah, I feel like with music, it really you gotta be on the same page, you know? Because I don't do this because I need like money or for like, this is my passion. It is my career or my calling too. But like, you know, I want to make music because in the end of the day, I want to have a beautiful song that I'm proud of and that I know people are going to like. And like, I've been in sessions where it's just about, you know, where I maybe like the artist, but like he's signed to a label and then it's like, okay, we need hits, you know, we need a hit, you know? And I'm like, oh bro, come on, dude. Can we just make good, like cool music spontaneously and, you know, do stuff? Nah, man, we need a safe hit. And yeah, we should do something like this or like this song that's popping and this song. And then like, you're like, bro, no, this is, I don't like that. I don't know. I don't like that type of stuff. I like to make music like, especially recently, because in quarantine, I've been so isolated and just like by myself and so lazy. I've just been like playing video games. And then
sometimes that's where the inspiration comes from though.
Yeah, honestly, I learned a lot about myself. Like, not only that I'm good at video games, but I also learned that, like, in music, like, you're like, you know, like, sometimes, because that's when, like, everybody that makes music knows this thing called resistance, right? If you've read, like, have you read The War of Art?
No, but I know the kind of thing you're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like everybody, like, at some point comes around this, like, thing called resistance. Yeah, it's this like invisible force that's just trying to keep you from being creative. And it can like take its form in like procrastination, excuses, in overthinking, self-sabotage, or like addiction to media consumption, something, right? And I really learned more about how overcoming my resistance makes me better. Or how to even overcome it. And I realized that it's really, like in this book, The War of Art, Stephen Pressfield kind of like, he had this like one quote that really like struck a chord in me. I was like, oh wow, this is sick. And it was about another book where like some woman said, you imagine a box in your hand, right? So you imagine a nice like box in your hand and then you open the box. And yeah, what's in the box? And everybody thinks about something different in that box, right? And that's how I've been treating my creativity lately. I just like, I literally, even when I feel weird or just like when you wake up and you're like depressed for no reason or you're just like, you don't feel like it, you know? You're just in this little rut in the morning or something. I still just sit down now and go onto my computer. I open my FL Studio and I ask myself this question. What's in a box today? And then I just start like making something, you know? And so often something like really beautiful comes out where I'm like, wow, this is sick, you know? This is dope.
And do you do that every day?
I do that every day now.
You say, what's in the box? What was in the box this morning?
I didn't do that like today because like I woke up pretty late. This is the first thing. But today I did it with this podcast. I was like, okay, fuck it. What's in the box? You know, I'm not going to think about when I do this. But I'm still going to do it later in the day.
When you were saying that, I was like, well, in my box, there would be a glass ball. I don't know why. Why is that? What does that mean?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Maybe it's like some oracle type vibes. I don't know. Maybe you want to see the future. I don't know. Maybe your future is uncertain and it's easily breakable. I don't know. I try to remember what was in the box for me. I think it was a flower. It was like a flower was the second thing. And the first thing, what was it?
Can you have more than one thing in the box?
Well, I opened it multiple times. So it was like,
okay.
So in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to open the box. And at first, it was something different than a flower. And then the third thing was like something to eat, like this chocolate bar. And I don't even eat chocolate because I'm like lactose intolerant. But it was like this anime chocolate bar and I knew it was really tasty. It's just a metaphor for like creativity, right? So like,
yeah, like
you know,
that. I think that's
like
cool.
The muse, like people talk about the muse, like, and yeah, that it's really like that though. Don't you ever like make stuff and you're like, wow, I made this?
I was talking to someone recently about this, a mixing engineer actually, and he was saying that he used to do a lot of songwriting, and he was saying that there's like this journey that you go on sometimes with a song where you're like, you start writing it and you're like, wow, this is really good, and then you carry on writing it, and you think this is the best thing I've ever written ever. And then there's a dip after that and it's like, oh, this is actually a bit shit. And then it's, whoa, this is great. And then by the end of it, it's just, it's all right. It's okay.
That's exactly how it goes. You have like, you start with like one line, you're like, wow, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And like, ah, nah, I hate this.
Yeah. So sometimes like I've come out of sessions and been like, wow, that's a great song. But not necessarily, I don't feel like I ever get the feeling. Well, maybe I've had it a couple of times, but not very often where I'm like, this is a hit song. Because I try not to think about it in a commercial sense, like you were saying.
Nah, that messes you up, I feel like. But I feel like this making music everyday thing is, or as often as you can.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's a different approach, kind of. I feel like it's kind of in our nature to sit down and try to make the best we can, right? Like you sit down. Each time you sit down and make a song, or at least for me, I sit down and try to make like the best song that I can. And I don't know, that might be the wrong approach. Like, obviously,
it's quite a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, like, because why not just sit down and express yourself, you know? Just like make
express
something.
Express yourself.
Yeah.
Anything.
Be yourself.
Why don't you just do you ever get writer's block?
Yeah, not that much anymore. I used to really a lot. Yeah. Like I used to have heavy writer's block, but I feel like that was just, resistance. Nowadays it's more like, okay, I gotta like, once I start writing, it's usually easier. It comes when I'm drained. Sometimes I'm a little drained when I make too much music, when I feel like I'm repeating myself or something, but
yeah.
That shouldn't happen either, I feel like. Because if you really ask yourself what's in the box, there should be something different. And if it's the same thing, you probably should accept it. The box has become my god, kind of. It's my philosophy now. In the producing community, we call it beat block. So, like when you don't have cool ideas for beats, and It's usually, sometimes we think something is wrong with us, but I feel like it's really natural to have that block because it's telling you something, right? It might be telling you that you have to learn something new. Like sometimes it's telling you that you need like a break and maybe you're even just tired physically. Maybe your ears need a break and your eyes and you just need to breathe and be healthy and stuff. And sometimes it might tell you that you kind of suck now or that you like reached a plateau, you know, because you get better kind of every time you make something. So, but you can't just go up like straight. like all the time. At some point you're gonna hit like a ceiling, and then you need like some new skills. Maybe it's in the form of like learning to sing better or try out different things. In producing, it's often that you need to try out new sounds and get like some new VSTs. Whenever I get like a new VST and new sounds, I just love it. You know, you have like new strings, or you have some Asian instruments, or some, you know, something cool.
Did you ever used to listen to songs and, you know, have a really good beat and think, oh yeah, I want to, just when you were a kid, you know, is that the thing that you wanted to do?
I always wanted to do that. I was always like, I played saxophone as a little kid, and I was always like, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
But just like 2 years, and it was just like Christmas songs. But it sounds pretty cool. Oh, I played saxophone. But
do you ever play it on some of your tracks now?
No, I can't play it anymore. I tried it. I bought a soprano saxophone, but I used to play alt. And I still have the ear for it, but my technique is just horrific. And it's like so I rather play it on the keyboard. I always thought I had this like rhythm and these cool ideas for things, you know. I was always like tapping like on my like leg. I was always like I was always just like, you know, like drumming everywhere and just like humming stuff or like whistling or like making random like, or writing like some poetry or like making. I remember one time we had this kid in our class. It was in fourth grade, and I don't know, he said that Spider-Man was dumb or something. Or he pissed me off in some weird kid way. And I like made this like song about him in like a, like it was like a poetry kind of song. And it was just like a mad diss track. It was really bad. And now I feel really bad for it now. I'm kind of proud about the melodies and stuff. But it took like some melody from me. Yeah, like everybody in the school sang it. And it was like, he just got this. It was basically mobbing. I felt That's bad. Brilliant. It was in fourth grade. And
wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I always just enjoy it, making stuff and creating things out of like nothing.
Is selling beats online like the main thing that you do?
Not really anymore. It's still like a really like big source of income. So money-wise, yeah, I would say that's the biggest source of income. But time-wise, it really isn't. Like, I make, like, 2 beats a week and upload them, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And, my main focus right now is just on getting better as an artist and dropping songs, kind of.
I've seen you've been dropping singles a lot recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you prefer doing that over, like, saving them up for an album?
Yeah, I don't believe in albums right now. Because, like...
Yeah.
I think people don't have time for albums. And
the whole album thing is so weird to me. Yeah. Because I used to... And the albums that I used to listen to, like, front to back, over and over again, mm-hmm. I still really love those albums. But from a listener's point of view, if I'm really being honest with myself, mm-hmm. I haven't listened to a whole album
for a long time. Right? Like, even the best shit, like, even, like, the best albums, you, like, you don't put on an album. You put on a playlist, you know?
Like a mood playlist or something.
Yeah, or workout playlist, or your own, like, yeah, do you use Spotify?
Yeah.
Yeah, so on Spotify, you make your own playlist of, like, stuff, right? Like, your favorite songs and stuff. Or, like, a curated playlist, or, like, your favorite songs, I don't know, or listen to podcasts. Yeah.
And it never contains an album, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right? So. It's never an album. It's like tracks on an album, but you could drop those as singles too.
Do you feel like you'll ever put out an album?
Of course.
Now?
Of course I want to put out an album at some point. It's just, it doesn't make sense, right, to put out albums. But like at some point you want to have like, even I want to create a listening experience, even if it's just like a one or two times or like maybe 3 times that people listen to it, you know, like,
yeah,
still, it's still a cool thing. But it's going to be like in the future, you know, I think.
Yeah.
It's usually, I don't know. I don't think big albums make sense. And if it would be more like a small album, maybe like 7 songs, 5 songs or something. What I did, what worked really well was like beat tapes, you know? Beat tapes people for some reason like to listen to. Like they just like I just put like 5 or 6 beats, maybe sometimes 10.
Just instrumentals?
Yeah, just instrumentals, and I put them on Spotify and they do really well too. I don't know.
Oh, cool.
I feel like people put those on when they're like gaming or when they're doing something or just chilling, you know?
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, who sits down and listens to music attentively nowadays?
If you're not used to critiquing music or listen to your own music critically, who's got time? Who's got time to do it?
Right.
I don't know.
Anna, when was the last time that you just sat down and were like, okay, I'm a, like, not your own music, not to like learn something from a song, but like a song you like, and you just sit still and you put in your headphones and you just listen to music? Like, I feel like not a lot of people do that. I feel like people, like, do stuff while they listen to music. Or, like, it's in the car or something.
I genuinely can't remember. I feel like we're talking, like, 10 years ago or something crazy.
Yeah,
like
it's definitely long. It's definitely a while, I think.
You know, sometimes, like, as an artist, I've been really picky or, like, specific about very small things in my songs.
Mm-hmm.
At times I've had like producers or mixing engineers being like, you know that like we can do this and that's cool, but you know that no one's gonna care. No one's gonna hear this unless they solo that track and like have headphones on, like really decent headphones on. They're not gonna hear it. So is it wasting time? I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like it also depends at what point you are at, right? Like for me right now, I'm at the point where I still want to establish myself as an artist, right? Because my followers and a lot of people, like they still see me as like Origami Beats, you know? They don't see me as Gami, the guy that sings. So right now it's like still the phase where I know my songs are like so far away from perfect, or like even like sometimes the mix is just trash, or like it's...
Do you mix your own stuff?
Yeah, right now I mix my own stuff. I got a friend now that mixes my music from like now on soon. But I don't know. I like to mix my own stuff too.
It's nice to have the control sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really controlling. Like I think it's an only child thing. You know, if you like grow up an only child, you just don't like to like, you don't like anybody to like have a say about like your stuff. You know, like don't touch my stuff. Mix. Don't touch my drums. Don't touch my reverb.
Well, I guess like in a way it's truly your vision.
Yeah, it's cool, kind of. But like I feel like somebody mixing your stuff can just take it to another level.
Yeah, true. Like I'm working with a mixer right now who's just, I feel like every time I send him stuff, it really takes it to a different level. Like it's
really
crazy. I think if you get like a good mixing engineer, it's just like so
it's different
sonically. Yeah. Just sonically really. But
facts.
Whether the average listener would care or notice, I still don't know. I don't know.
Right? And like I'm at a point I feel like I get better with every song. And now I have songs that I made like half a year ago where I'm like, you know, that I maybe haven't finished or something where I'm like, oh, I don't even want to finish this one. It's not as good as the stuff that I can do now, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I just need to drop stuff and just, because I don't care about how perfect the music is. I just want to make stuff that feels good to me. And I want to get over this like fear of dropping, because I feel like every time I drop something new, there's like this weird fear of like being judged, right? That you have to overcome as an artist. And with beats, it's really faint because like it's just an instrumental, you know? I mean, it's an instrumental. Come on, like, of course you don't want to drop like a whack beat, but what are people even going to say? Oh, wow, this beat is whack. Yeah, okay, not a problem. But like your voice sucks. Like, you know, there's like a different level of like, oh, fuck. Like this might be, this can be hurtful. Like you don't want to sing bad. Like it's just, imagine being in front of a really big crowd and just singing horrible, you know, but it's like the best you can do. That's like,
that would be painful.
Yeah, that's painful. But it's like, if you think about it, that's kind of what you have to go through when you first learn how to make songs, right? Because like,
yeah,
I already have an audience and like are job songs, and like I'm like, wow, I literally, this is the best I can do. This is the best I can do. But it's still not on pitch, bro. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just have to drop this. Fuck it. I'll just drop it. Because only that way you get it out of the way and out of your system, true. And you get better. I think it was Ed Sheeran that said you have to like make like, it's like a clogged pipe or something. You know, like how you have like these, I don't know how to say it in English, but it's like where the water comes from. When you, the tap, is it the tap?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have like the tap, and you know when you have a tap that has like dirty water or something? He said something like that. It's like opening that tap and just flushing out the dirty water until the clear water comes. And that's like your songs that you drop early. It's just like these 1,000 songs or 100 songs that you flush out that are just whack, you know, until like the clear water comes through. That's what I'm doing now, man. I'm just dropping my shit. And some
but then once it's clear, it's clear.
That's yeah, it. That's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get this clear water.
So what kind of kit do you have right now in your home studio?
So I use a UAD interface, like the Apollo Twin, a Neumann U87. I use the HS8 like studio monitors. There. And then I use this like ISO Vox box. Yeah, just my laptop, a MIDI keyboard. I have a bass that I never use. I have two guitars. Actually, most of the stuff actually comes from Thomann. And yeah, that's pretty much it, bro. I make all my shit on my computer. So in FL Studio, I have my whole orchestra, kind of. For any producers listening, my favorite VSTs are Contact 5, Keyscape, Omnisphere, Expand. I really like Expand. I think it's really underrated. And yeah, for mixing and stuff, I use the Apollo Twin because it has like, it has really nice plugins and really nice compressors. You have like this CL2A, and you have like all these like old vintage compressors that would cost you like thousands of dollars, and you get them for like a couple of hundred, like as like a software emulation. It's really sick.
I'm going to ask you like a couple of last questions. Okay.
Social security number.
Yeah. What is your track of the week?
My track of the week? You mean the song that I like to listen to?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Earth, Wind and Fire, September.
Oh.
It's like, I could listen to that all day.
Okay.
That's like so fire.
Nice. And if you had one lesson that you would say is the best lesson that you've learned so far in your career, what would that be?
Oof, holy shit.
That's a big question.
The best lesson. All right. Okay, Hannah.
Big question.
What's the best lesson that I've heard?
I mean, I like that box thing. I think that's a great lesson.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's definitely one of my favorite recent ones.
Yeah.
But I think, life is about consistency. Like, I think getting better at anything, it's just consistency. Consistency can make you so happy. There's nothing better than knowing that you have the willpower and the energy and the force in you that you can do something every day. Because imagine you like just start, like I don't play guitar. So and for the people that don't play guitar or something, imagine you playing guitar every day for like 30 minutes or an hour. And imagine where you would be in like 2 years, like how good you would play guitar.
Mm.
And you can apply that to pretty much everything. I remember I used to think singing was solely a thing of talent, like of how like your vocal cords were or something.
Like I how never you were realized born or that. Something.
Yeah.
Born
that's
able
when
to
I,
sing.
When I was younger, that's what I thought. Because like some girls were able to sing and I wasn't, you know. I was like, wait, I can hear what sounds good. I have really good pitch, but I can't sing. And then it took me a while to realize, oh, wait, people actually practice. If you do something productive every single day, you're going to get so much better at it. And you're going to feel more more confident because you know you can trust yourself to do stuff every day.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for speaking to me today.
Yeah, nah, hold on, Hannah. What was your number one?
My track of the week?
Nah, I don't care about your track of the week. Oh, I want to know your life lesson.
My life lesson?
Yeah.
My life lesson. It is a tough question.
Right?
Damn.
Not easy.
I think, maybe just to do what you want to do. Like, I think it's important to take on advice sometimes, but if you're making music in a way that doesn't make you happy, then that seems like a waste of time to me. I think it should be fun. And if it's not fun, then the process needs to change, or like your priorities need to change, because if music becomes like just a job, then that's just such a shame. Is that okay?
That is okay. I mean, it's your life lesson.
It's my life lesson. Thanks so much for speaking to me today,
Jamie. Hey, thanks for having me, Hannah.
It's been really cool. I hope you have a good week making beats.
Yeah, same to you.
I'll be making loads of beats.
Yeah, make cool beats.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.